Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Dr. Ed Staffel. I'm a dentist practicing here in San Antonio. You're listening to the Dr. Staffel program, and your smile matters. And today, I have a guest again. It's a continuation of what we started 2 weeks ago with Dr. Nathan Bryant. Dr. Bryant, are you there?
Hi, Dr. Staffel.
Don, can I get him a little louder?
Can you hear me, Dr. Staffel?
Yeah, that's better. Yeah. We were having a little trouble getting our communications going, but I think we've got it fixed. And so,
problem solved.
You can, of course, listen to this and 8 years of programs on the free podcast, which is staffelDDS.podomatic.com. That's staffelDDS.podomatic.com. Have an internet site, sanantoniodentist.net. We have a lot of interesting information. We'll be fortifying that much more in the future as well. And so today, however, we 2 weeks ago, Dr. Bryant carved out of some time out of his tremendously busy schedule. He lectures all over the world, and he's given us a week and now a second week about Neo 40. It's called Human In, and we're going to talk about that. It's something that I've been using for a long time, have many of my patients on it, and it's really, really valuable in the cardiology world. And just to start off, I have a very dear friend, and she and her husband are up in Winter Park, Colorado. Its elevation is 9,000 feet. They go up there for the summer, and this year she was having a terrible time with breathing. And her husband had been taking the Neo 40 and had really straightened his life out, because he'd been taking nitroglycerin for a long time and was able to move away from that drug. And so they called in distress, and I had her take three of them a day, spaced out through the day, and it completely solved her problems. That was another win for the Neo 40, the Human In, and the altitude difficulties of breathing. So I thought you might enjoy hearing about that, Dr. Bryant.
Thanks to Dr. Steffel. That's not uncommon. We see in really low oxygen, what we call hypoxia, in many patients that have problems of breathing, whether it's from respiratory problems or cardiovascular issues. That's what we call physiological hypoxia. But as you mentioned, there's also environmental hypoxia when you go to high altitude and the partial pressure of oxygen is much less. And so regardless of whatever the cause is, the problem is if you can't deliver oxygen to the cells of the body, then things, you get into trouble, and bad
yes.
things happen. And so what we've learned over the past 25 or 30 years in the nitric oxide field is that without sufficient nitric oxide being produced in the body, you can't deliver oxygen. So, for instance, in people that live here at sea level that have normal, breathing in normal oxygen levels, if they've got cardiopulmonary issues and they can't deliver that oxygen, and people become hypoxic, it's the signs of cardiovascular disease, people fail stress tests, and really it's a diagnostic for cardiovascular disease. So I guess the point here is that we have to be able to know what nitric oxide levels are in individual subjects and patients, and then perhaps most importantly, if there's a problem with the nitric oxide production pathways in people, then we have to fix that. And fortunately, our work over the past 17 years, we've figured out how to fix this nitric oxide problem in virtually every human being.
Now, an interesting sidebar to this is that this person has a weight problem and, of course, would have, I would assume, a great deal of resistance over the diaphragm due to the belly weight. And this person was able to recover very well just with the three spaced out doses of the Neo 40, even in spite of the fact that the patient or the person has a heavy weight problem. So I thought that
again,
was...
that's not surprising either, because physiologically and biochemically, we know some very important concepts that we've learned. So, 10, 12 years ago, we thought naively that nitric oxide is what we called a vasodilator, meaning that it dilates blood vessels, and that was very important in people that had cardiovascular disease or circulatory issues where they couldn't deliver oxygen or couldn't dilate their blood vessels to get sufficient oxygen. And so that, when you can't make nitric oxide, you lose this vasodilation. But about 3 years ago, there was a very important paper that was published in the scientific literature showing that without adequate nitric oxide being produced, that you can't, not only can you not dilate the blood vessels, but you actually fail to deliver oxygen to the periphery. So your red blood cells can have sufficient oxygen that can be saturated to 99%, but without nitric oxide being produced in the lining of the blood vessels and by the blood cells, you can't offload that oxygen, and people become really hypoxic despite having normal oxygen saturation levels. And so that may be a little bit complicated to your listeners, but my point is that having inadequate or insufficient nitric oxide basically affects how every cell in your body can receive the oxygen and then actually utilize the oxygen to make cellular energy, or ATP. So loss of nitric oxide is recognized as one of the earliest events in the onset and progression of any chronic age-related disease. So being able to understand what nitric oxide levels are in individual subjects, and then being able to implement safe and effective strategies to restore nitric oxide production, is probably the most important thing people can do for their health and wellness.
Well, you know, that's a very, very interesting point. And I'm glad you brought that out, because I have gotten, since October, I took an advanced course in sleep disordered breathing, and found at the course, we were given monitors at night, and I found that I had a sleep disordered breathing problem. So I got the sleep CPAP, which has taken me about 6 months to get accustomed to, and I've been checking this out very carefully on my patients. I have been doing appliances, mandibular advancement appliances, which helps with sleep apnea since the 70s. And so I've been following along for a long time, but it's really getting concentrated now, because the problem is discovered to be so huge in the population of the United States. And it's such a huge problem from the standpoint that medical doctors are treating so many of the symptoms, like high blood pressure or drug-resistant hypertension, drug-resistant high blood pressure, with pharmaceuticals, and it's actually a mechanical problem. So my point is, from what you're telling me there, the threshold for sleep disordered breathing is 94%. Oxygen of 100. That's when the brain will kick in and wake you up, when that oxygen saturation drops below the 94%. And what you're telling me is that if you don't have adequate nitric oxide, you can have a 94% or 95% oxygen saturation, that's percent of 100, and still not get the adequate oxygen. Did I understand you right with that?
You're spot on. You get it 100%. And so that really explains mechanistically a number of problems, at least in a number of patients. So in people, you know, that are given supplemental oxygen, either through a nasal cannula or through an oxygen mask, if you don't correct their nitric oxide status, there's really that oxygen is going to have limited utility. And so the human body is very complex, but in certain terms, it's very simple. And so what we've lived by for the past 20 years in our basic science program is, if you give the body what it needs, it will heal itself.
Yes.
And so that's been the basis for what we've done. So we understand what the body needs to make nitric oxide, and we actually give that back to them. But here's what also we've learned over the past 25 or 30 years, within 150,000 papers published in the scientific literature, that if without adequate nitric oxide production and without fixing these pathways that make nitric oxide in the body, your patients can heal and they will not heal. So those are fundamental truths that we've learned in science. And so being able to fix nitric oxide is probably one of the best things you can do in terms of improving overall health. And so it's not just cardiovascular related, because nitric oxide, we've also learned, it's more than a vasodilator. It's what we call a cell signaling molecule. It's how cells in the body, all cells in the body, communicate with one another. So when it's produced in the brain, it's a neurotransmitter. It's how cells in the brain communicate with one another. It's how cells of the blood vessels and the surrounding smooth muscle communicate to regulate blood flow and oxygen delivery to tissues. It's how our immune system fights off invading pathogens. So when you lose the ability to make this very important molecule, nitric oxide, there's a lot of things in the human body that fail over time. And so you have to fundamentally fix these problems. And so, as you mentioned, it's if you have obstructive sleep apnea or issues like that, yeah, you can fix the obstruction and get more oxygen delivered. But again, without adequate nitric oxide production, you can deliver all the oxygen, or you can supply all the oxygen you need, but your body is not able to utilize it to make energy.
So I would think from this, if we extrapolate from that, would be that anybody that has sleep disordered breathing or a problem of that type, they need to be taking the Neo40 or Human N at night before they go to bed.
Well, that's what the published literature tells us. And so,
you see, that is not happening as far now. When I went through my course at the University of Texas Dental School in Houston and had two of the most prominent dentists who treat sleep disordered breathing, that was never mentioned once. And then when I came back and got my paraphernalia, the CPAP mask, the sleep doctor never once mentioned that. So we've got a long way to go to get this message out, Nathan. I tell you, Dr. Brian, we're in a deep hole here.
Yeah, that's been my mission over the past 7 or 8 years, is really education, because really what you don't know will kill you at this point.
Yeah.
Because we know that if you don't correct these fundamental biochemical processes in the human body, then bad things happen. And so we know that people with obstructive sleep apnea or any type of sleep apnea have a higher incidence of heart attack and stroke and all these cardiovascular-related issues. And that's because this all leads to a decrease or inhibition of production of nitric oxide. And so without nitric oxide being produced, it puts you at greater risk for all-cause cardiovascular disease, whether it's heart attack or stroke or any type of cardiopulmonary issues. So you have to fix these fundamental problems around nitric oxide, or your body can't heal.
Well, you know, what's so interesting also is I have really gotten tuned into this of having my hygienists. I have two hygienists. I had them examine the throat and the tissue in the back, giving us a screening. And then I have a home screening device that I loan to the patients free of charge, just because I'm trying to get this message out as much as possible so they can do a screening at home. And we can find out what their oxygen saturation is and what their cardiovascular response is to the apnea and hypopnea, lack of breathing oxygen. And so when I started doing this and calling this to the attention of my hygienist as well, my gosh, we find so much evidence of the constriction of the airway just by a visual examination, and then following that up with a free screening device while a patient sleeps, takes it home and sleeps, and it's just astonishing how much of a problem is out there. And so, but we have never tied it into the nitric oxide issue. And going forward from here, I will.
Well, you know, that, I think it's a huge problem. You know, I've been in academic medicine for the past 15, 16 years and taught in medical schools. And so it's not part of the education process.
No.
And, you know, I do a lot of collaborations with dental schools as well. And so it's not part of the curriculum or even the education. And, you know, I aim to change that. In fact, that's why, you know, I always enjoy the opportunity to come on shows like yours so we can help educate the people that should know about this but yet don't.
The Dr. Preen, I don't know if you've met him or not. He is one of the most – he's in the Woodlands. He's a dentist, and he focuses on sleep apnea, sleep disturbed breathing, and TMJ and so on. And I'm going to, his name is Prehn, and it's somebody that you might get in touch with, and I'll try to get in touch with him as well, because he gave an excellent course. And Dr. Levine is in the dental school, works with the dental school as well down in Houston. And it never was mentioned in 2 days of the program of the CE course. And they do the same thing here. They have a sleep disordered breathing course. And I'll check and follow up here, because I've not heard it mentioned in any of the meetings. And so it'll be, we'll be pushing ahead on that factor.
Yeah, well, I think that certainly needs to change, because, you know, part of continuing education is educating on new findings. And unfortunately, it takes about 17 years for new findings in science to become mainstream or part of the core. And I don't think we have to wait. Patients don't have to wait 17 years, because there's a lot of information out there and really safe and effective strategies that, you know, people need to know about and they can implement immediately. So I think it's, you know, here's what I've learned over these past 15 or 20 years in academic medicine, is that if people have a chronic illness that's not being very well treated or managed by physicians, I always tell them, well, go see a good dentist, because dentists see things that a lot of physicians don't see in terms of, one, looking at the obstructive the obstructions in the mouth or in the airways that may be causing obstructive sleep apnea. But also, you know, our health begins in the mouth. If you have bad oral hygiene, it's known that you have higher incidence of heart attack and stroke, this oral systemic link. So we're figuring out mechanisms of that with certain oral bacteria. And so dentists really do some amazing things for the overall health of people and managing a lot of chronic diseases that physicians, unfortunately, do a very poor job of.
Now, tell me this. We have patients that we do the screening on. We have patients that we do the examination, and it shows that they have obstructive problems in their breathing, in their oral pharyngeal pharynx, and make recommendations, but they don't take those recommendations very easily. And so would it be helpful to these people that we start them on the Neo 40 or the Human N? Are they going to get much value from that, even though they have a sleep disordered breathing problem? Or is that too strong a statement?
Well, it's kind of like the chicken or the egg. You know, I think you got to fix the anatomy. You know, anatomy really affects physiology, and so you can't fix physiology if you've got anatomical problems. So I think they go hand in hand.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Here's the message that we've been trying to put forth over the past 10 years, and I think, you know, medicine today is in a position to where we have to rethink things. And people typically don't act until there's a crisis.
Yes.
And so people, you know, they don't go see a physician until they get sick.
That's right.
It's a reactive practice.
Yes.
But I think with medicine and the healthcare system the way it is today, we have to train people and teach people to be proactive.
Right.
You know, do the things today that are going to allow you to prevent the onset and progression of a lot of these age-related diseases. And we've learned so much over the past, you know, even times that precede me, over the past 50, 60 years, and really ways that you can, things that you can do, very simple things that you can do to prevent a lot of these age-related diseases, because mechanistically we have a very clear understanding of what causes most disease. And drug therapy is typically not the answer. You can't inhibit an enzyme or give some synthetic compound and expect the human body and to do things that nature never intended it to do, or to see compounds that it never was designed to see. And so as a physiologist, you know, we've always thought, well, if we know these biochemical pathways and we know what becomes perturbed or dysfunctional, then let's fix it. Give the body what it needs. Most diseases are caused by a nutrient deficiency or some toxic burden. And so if you eliminate toxic burdens and if you restore physiology and give the body the nutrients and everything it needs to make new cells that work properly, then that's the basis for longevity and wellness and lack of disease.
Okay. Now, a while back you had a book, and then I think the book went away, or y'all going to build a new one, print a new one?
We're in the process of updating that. You know, authored that book probably almost 7 or 8 years ago. And the way that the science advances these days is, you know, information that we know that we knew 7 years ago, wrote about 7 years ago, is almost outdated.
Sure.
So we have to update this with the new information, and it's changing so rapidly that by the time we get one version, and we've learned something else, have to go back and edit it and revise it. So it's rapidly changing. But, yeah, we're in the process of trying to update this because, as I mentioned earlier, this is too important for people not to know.
So when can we look for the publishing date?
I would hope to have something by the end of this year. I mean, but a lot of that depends on, you know, editing and then and publishing and getting in the hands of the people that can do this in an expedited manner.
And you don't have a Cliff Notes edition.
No, we don't. I think
we could use one, I'll tell you.
Well, here's the challenge we've been faced with, and is, you know, this is probably one of the most complex areas of science and biochemistry in the human body. So it's complex and
what
complicated.
What is nitric oxide
production?
Okay.
So how the body makes nitric oxide and utilizes nitric oxide, because I think it's important for your listeners to know that once nitric oxide is produced, it's a gas and it's gone in less than 1 second.
Okay.
And so then it activates these downstream, what we call second messenger systems. And so being able to recapitulate nitric oxide production and physiology is not trivial. It's very complex. But I think what we try to do is give people an appreciation for the importance of nitric oxide and then kind of, you know, delve into the specifics, and then people can kind of get the Cliff Notes or you know, the importance of it. And those that want to understand the biochemistry and physiology, we provide that information as well. But for some people, it's too complicated and too complex, and they really don't need to know the specifics other than the fact that, one, nitric oxide is one of the most important molecules produced in the human body. As you age, you lose your ability to make it, and being able to restore nitric oxide production basically tells us that you can prevent a lot of these age-related diseases.
Okay, so now tell me this. We have these little tabs that can tell if you have adequate nitric oxide in your body.
Right.
How accurate, if the gas has gone in a second, what are we measuring?
It's a very good question. I'll give you a little bit of history on this. So, you know, again, going back to our basic philosophy is fix the problems in the human body that have become disrupted. And so we can do this through a number of different things. And so the analogy I use, so if you go to your physician and you draw blood, and the analogy I like to use is vitamin D. So if your vitamin D levels are low, you supplement it or you give vitamin D back. And so that's easy. So if you're low, then you give back what the body's missing, or you give adequate levels. But for nitric oxide, there's not any standard blood labs that people that are available to physicians or to patients. So how do you know if you have nitric oxide?
Right.
How do you know if you need it? And so this has been a problem really for the past 20 years in clinical medicine. And so what we designed is, with some well-known chemistry, and put it on this test strip that you can apply your saliva to this test strip, and in a matter of 1 or 2 seconds, you can see a color change that's indicative of total body nitric oxide production. So nitric oxide is a gas, and the primary end products are, it's oxidized, it reacts with oxygen or red blood cells, the hemoglobin in red blood cells, and it forms these two other molecules called nitrite and nitrate. And so these are more stable molecules that we can actually detect in the blood and saliva. So what we're measuring in the saliva is, number one, does your body make adequate nitric oxide? And then number two, how well does your body reutilize or recycle the nitric oxide that your body has made? And this is dependent upon a number of different things. The most important, perhaps, is the right oral bacteria. And so if you spit on that test strip or apply some saliva to the test strip and it doesn't change into a bright pink, then we know your body is nitric oxide deficient.
So what is the measurement that you are measuring when it turns whatever color?
So this is some old chemistry, and really what we're measuring is salivary nitrite.
Okay.
And so nitric oxide that's produced in your body is oxidized to nitrate. It's been known since 1978 that nitrate is actually concentrated in our salivary glands, and each time we salivate, this is inorganic nitrate that's being secreted.
Okay.
And then the oral bacteria that live in the crypts of the tongue reduce nitrate to nitrite and to nitric oxide. So salivary nitrite is a proxy, or what we call a dosimeter, for total body nitric oxide production.
Okay.
So if you have sufficient salivary nitrite, then we know your body's making some. You can feel this pathway through diet. You can inhibit this pathway by taking proton pump inhibitors or antacids. You can inhibit this pathway by taking antiseptic mouthwash, primarily chlorhexidine. So there are a number of different things you can do to disrupt nitric oxide production that have really some bad unintended consequences. And to the contrary, there are things you can do to promote this nitric oxide production, and that's what we focused on.
All right, so let me recapitulate. When we measure those little strips, it's going to show the body's production of salivary nitrate.
Nitrite.
Mm-hmm. Nitrite. And then the oral bacteria, provided it's not full of periodontitis or gingivitis or oral problems, bacterial problems, pathogens, that's going to be reduced to nitrate.
Well, no, the nitrate is reduced to nitrite. And sometimes
the nitrate is going to be reduced to the nitrite. Okay.
That's right. And humans don't have this enzyme. So we're 100% dependent upon oral bacteria to do this for us. And so, you know, I think some people, we're promoting a germophobic society where people want to get rid of all bacteria because they think they cause infections. But, you know, the bacteria that live in and on our body outnumber our own human cells 10 to 1. And a lot of these bacteria are there to do things that we as humans can't do. Obviously, there's some pathogens and bad bacteria that make people sick that you have to control with antibiotics and some type of antimicrobial therapy. But the side effects and the unintended consequences of that is that they're non-selective, and so you can actually get rid of the good bacteria with the bad bacteria. And I think overusing antibiotics and people using antiseptic mouthwash and antibacterial soaps and all this is really a bad idea because these bacteria are very important for the host, for the humans in which they live on.
So again, I'll get this straight in a minute. The salivary nitrate is what we're measuring.
No, salivary nitrite. So nitrate comes from eating green leafy vegetables. So that's what we get.
And wait a minute, let me go back to this point because I keep getting it mixed up. We're going to measure, and it's going to measure salivary nitrite.
That's correct.
And the nitrite is going to be reduced to nitrate?
No.
By the oral bacteria?
It'll be reduced to nitric oxide. So there's a pathway called the nitrite, nitric oxide pathway. So these are three steps of nitrogen metabolism that occur in the environment and then occur in the human body. And so nitric oxide is really what we're at. So you can utilize this by eating more healthy foods, green leafy vegetables, and by feeding these bacteria that then metabolize nitrate into nitrite, and then when you swallow your own saliva, it makes nitric oxide in the stomach.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah, so the end game for us is always nitric oxide because that's what we're interested in and that's what the body normally produces. So we've discovered that there's two ways to make nitric oxide. There's an enzyme in the lining of the blood vessels that takes L-arginine and converts it to nitric oxide. And so that's really what becomes dysfunctional with age. But we've also discovered that you can use diet as a first-line therapy for loss of nitric oxide. And this occurs through this mechanism that we just described, that eating green leafy vegetables, you take up the nitrate that's in these vegetables, it's put it back in your salivary glands after 90 minutes, and then when you salivate, these bacteria, if you have them, reduce nitrate to nitrite. And then when you swallow your own saliva, you generate nitric oxide in the lumen of the stomach, and then that NO diffuses into the blood and performs its actions. And so,
but if it's lasting a second, how does that happen?
Well, that's a very, very good point, too. In 2007, we published a paper showing for the very first time that nitric oxide acts almost like a hormone, that nitric oxide produced in one tissue or one organ can have an effect in a different tissue or different organ.
Okay.
And this was done, we did this through gene therapy, where we took an enzyme, the nitric oxide synthase enzyme, and overexpressed it in the heart of mice. And then the nitric oxide that was produced in the heart actually protected the liver from damage. And so this was really the first demonstration that there was a hormone, or what we call an endocrine function, mm-hmm. of nitric oxide. But this was kind of my aha moment in science, because it told us that if we want to affect nitric oxide production in the body, then all we had to do was generate nitric oxide in a single biological compartment. And so that was the basis for the Neo40 technology, because when you put that lozenge in your mouth, it's activated by your saliva, and it generates 30 parts per million NO gas. And so we know now, through published clinical trials, that when that nitric oxide is produced in the oral cavity, that we see peak plasma concentrations or blood levels within 20 minutes. This affects different organ levels of nitric oxide. It can reduce markers of inflammation. It can normalize blood pressure. So again, this is demonstration that nitric oxide produced in the oral cavity still acts as a vasodilator in the periphery.
Okay. Well, now here's something we run into, and I've been explaining this process to my listeners for a little while now. When the body detects food and bacteria, or when people don't remove the food from their teeth, and it's sitting on the teeth and the gum tissues, the bacteria explode, the bad pathogens. Mm-hmm. And the body sends out toxic chemicals in order to fight this explosion of bacteria in the gum tissue. And the body is designed so that it will sacrifice itself. That is, these toxic chemicals, if left there, and there's a genetic factor as well, it will wind up removing the bone. So these toxic chemicals that are fighting the infection, because the teeth haven't been cleaned and cleansed, the bone is going to be lost if this process is continued, and the bone can't be gained back. So the thing becomes, how does this function in this poor bacterial environment? That is, people that don't brush and floss like they should, and they don't see the need for it. What's happening to them with this whole process of nitric oxide? Is that a fair question?
Yeah, it's a very fair question. So there's two components to this. Number one, there's the bacteria that are there that are creating these toxins that basically the body responds to. And number two,
yes,
our immune system, our body elicits an immune response. So our immune system comes in. The purpose of the immune system is to, number one, kill off any pathogens or bacteria,
right,
or viruses or any type of pathogen. And this causes an acute inflammatory response.
Right.
And so the acute inflammatory response is what's responsible for isolating this particular infection or these bacteria and creating the heat, you know, the increase, the blood flow to where you, mm-hmm, can get white blood cells in there that generate really a lot of nitric oxide that kill these bacteria. And so that is an acute inflammatory response, and that's how the body normally reacts. The problem is in chronic inflammation. So if you've got these pathogens that are living there and that your immune system can't get rid of, then we have this chronic inflammatory situation.
Okay.
And chronic inflammation is really the root cause of any type of chronic disease.
Okay.
And so we have to be able to, number one, get rid of the cause of the inflammation, whether it's an infection or whether it's some inflammatory stimuli from a dysfunctional tissue, we have to get rid of that. And so from the bacterial component, that's really very simple. And so in these bacteria that we call anaerobes that can survive without oxygen, and this is most demonstrated, I think, in root canal teeth where there's no blood supply and no nerve.
Yes.
And it creates an environment for these bugs to get down there and just really flourish. So they're isolated from our immune system because there's no blood supply there. And so these bacteria sit down there and they don't need oxygen. They respire on other things and they create these toxins that really poison the body,
mm-hmm,
for years because it's asymptomatic, because there's no nerve to tell you you've got an infection. There's no blood supply for the immune system to get to the infection. And so these chronic infected root canal teeth are really, I think, a major problem in chronic disease. So
right,
you have to clean up the infection. And then number two, you have to give the body what it needs to elicit a robust immune response where it can kill the bacteria. Most pathogens are sensitive to nitric oxide.
Okay.
If you generate a lot of nitric oxide, it binds to the iron sulfur centers of these bacteria and it shuts down their respiration. So they can't survive.
Now that's huge. Now see, That's new. That's new to us. So most.
Yeah, and the other important thing, and we know this from clinical data in humans, that you can actually suppress the inflammatory cascade. So once you get rid of the bacteria, then you kind of put the brakes and put the fire out of the inflammation. And nitric oxide can do this because we see it in terms of C-reactive protein, which is a marker of acute inflammation. You see it in these other inflammatory biomarkers like myeloperoxidase and oxidized lipids. So everything that we know about the chronic inflammation can be mitigated by restoration of nitric oxide.
So anybody that's got inflammation of the gums, they need to be on nitric oxide, is what you're saying? Or they need to be on Neo-40?
Well, I think that's what the literature tells us. So any chronic inflammatory condition, and this is really any word that ends in itis, whether it's gingivitis, periodontitis, or ulcerative colitis, appendicitis, pancreatitis, these are all inflammations mm-hmm. of specific organs or tissues. And so basically it's you're describing a symptom. You're not describing an individual disease because there's a cause for that inflammation. So I think medicine has failed us because, one, we rarely identify the cause of the inflammation. And then, two, most drug therapy options don't get to the root cause of it. And so it's been our focus and kind of a different way of doing things is, number one, get rid of the insulting agent that's causing the inflammation. And once you do that, you've got to suppress the inflammatory response and get physiology working again.
All right. If a patient has an elevated C-reactive protein, are they going to get any benefit from the nitric oxide?
Well, the clinical data tell us, yeah, we can see about a 37% reduction in C-reactive protein in 30 days. In fact,
really?
We've got an issued patent. One of my patents is on a method of reducing inflammation and C-reactive protein by nitric oxide.
Okay, even though you don't know the source of the inflammation.
That's right, because nitric oxide doesn't discriminate. It's one, it resets the cell signaling aspects of how the body works. And so it will reduce the inflammation. If it's a bacterial infection, it helps the immune system eradicate these bacteria.
That's huge.
So it gets, yeah, I think it's a complete way. Again, I think it goes back to, you know, your body can't heal and do what it's supposed to do if it can't make nitric oxide.
Now, what about homocysteine marker?
Homocysteine we haven't looked at. We know that that's a marker of oxidative stress and sometimes some methylation issues, but it causes endothelial dysfunction, which disrupts nitric oxide production.
Wow. Okay. So you give me a lot to revise here. Good night alive.
Well, as I mentioned, this is a rapidly growing field. And
yeah.
What we're trying to do, because I don't predict any time in the near future there's going to be markers that tell us there's going to be nitric oxide labs that you can go to, like your cholesterol levels or vitamin D.
Yeah.
So what we're in the process of doing, we've got ongoing clinical trials. But seeing how common biomarkers or certain labs like C-reactive protein or myeloperoxidase or certain lipoprotein particles, can we then correlate those with a functional nitric oxide production and then be able to tell you, okay, if you've got elevated triglycerides, this is a sign of low nitric oxide. If you've got elevated C-reactive protein, this is a sign of low nitric oxide. If you've got elevated myeloperoxidase, this is a sign. And so we're in the process of accumulating those data. That way you can teach physicians then, these are standard labs they run anyway, and it's reimbursable by insurance. So looking at this panel and looking at different things within these labs, we can begin to hopefully demonstrate that this is a symptom of low nitric oxide. And if you restore nitric oxide production, then these labs will correct.
That is amazing. Okay.
Well, I think that's the future of medicine, is being able to use what we call systems biology. Because, you know, the current model of medicine, your cardiologist only are interested in the heart.
Yeah.
Urologist only was interested in the brain. But yet, what happens in the heart can affect the brain and vice versa.
Sure.
So this is really a systems biology. The body's connected both through blood vessels and through nerves. And so if one system is failing, it's going to affect other systems. So we can't look at this in isolation anymore. We have to look at the human body as a whole and then fix this underlying biochemistry and applied physiology. Applied pharmacology is not the answer. It's applied physiology.
Right, right. Now, any connection to the cancer physiology?
Yeah, cancer is really a monster here in the fact that I think the way that cancer has been studied over the past 100 years is wrong. Cancer is not a genetic disease, as we've been taught. Cancer is really a mitochondrial disease, that when the mitochondria of individual cells can't appropriately use oxygen through the Krebs cycle, that's when cancer sets in. So there's a whole complicated theory. I think it's moving beyond theory and really being kind of a fundamental truth, because you can, if you fix the mitochondria, the cancer goes away. And all cancers are associated with dysfunctional mitochondria.
All right.
Again, it gets down to basic cell biology and how individual cells and organelles within cells actually work.
For my listeners, tell us what a mitochondria is.
Mitochondria are the energy powerhouses of the cell. So within individual cells in the body, you have a number of different mitochondria, and different cells have different number of mitochondria. And so this is actually how the cell functions. It provides the fuel for the cell to do its job. And so without adequate mitochondrial function, or when these mitochondria become dysfunctional, then you can't generate efficient energy from oxygen. And so in cancer, we call this aerobic fermentation. So they begin to ferment, and it's a very inefficient use of the resources to make energy. And then the only way you can make energy for these cells to survive is by giving it glucose, where all of the cells in the body can use amino acids, they can use proteins, they can use fat oxidation. But cancer cells are very unique and specific in the fact that they can only use sugars. And so if you starve the body of sugars, you can selectively starve out cancer cells. Or to get to the root cause of the problem, you can fix the mitochondria where they're no longer going through this aerobic fermentation, and then you can fix the Krebs cycle and then allow for normal metabolism.
So the nitric oxide, the Neo40 is going to be how effective at stabilizing the mitochondrial problems?
Well, we haven't studied it specifically with the Neo40, but in the nitric oxide published literature, it's known that nitric oxide can help recouple the mitochondrial electron transport chain on how it utilizes oxygen to make energy, and it also controls the number of mitochondria that are in each individual cell. So the net of that is if you have sufficient nitric oxide production, the efficiency of oxygen utilization of the mitochondria improves, and then you have more mitochondria utilizing oxygen more efficiently. So you optimize your performance. And we see this in well-trained athletes, that they have more mitochondria that are utilizing oxygen more efficiently. And so the net result of that is that these people perform at the top of their game. These are the most elite athletes in the world that can do things that us normal humans can't do.
Yeah.
They can do it with less oxygen because they're more efficient in the way that they utilize the oxygen.
Now, are there any side effects to nitric oxide therapy?
Yeah, dose dictates poison. You know, depending on what, there's not a single substance out there, molecule out there, that's not without toxicity. And so too little nitric oxide is bad, as we've learned over the past 20 years, and too much nitric oxide can be bad.
What is too much?
The acute toxicity is really, you develop methemoglobinemia, or it's really when the blood becomes oxidized. And so people, you know, you see this in babies. It's called blue baby syndrome. So they become cyanotic. They get blue around the lips. But this is really tons of nitric oxide, probably 100,000, 10,000, 100,000 times more than what the body is used to producing. And the other side effect is low blood pressure. But again, you need really a lot of nitric oxide to develop hypotension or syncope, where people get low blood pressure and then get faint and pass out.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not in diet and supplementation, it's very hard to reach toxicity, especially when you use things as directed.
All right, and that would be no more than 3 of the lozenges a day? spaced out?
Well, with the NEA 40 lozenge, we designed that to deliver the amount of nitric oxide that a healthy human being would generate over 24 hours.
Okay.
So it's really restorative nitric oxide product. And so we designed that as a once daily. And
okay.
So if you're taking this, for instance, like me, I'm 43 years old, I'm in very good health, have no issues whatsoever. But I take this once daily just to prevent this age-related decline in nitric oxide production.
Okay.
And so that's this proactive approach that we take. I don't need nitric oxide. My levels of production are normal. But I know with my very busy schedule, and sometimes I don't have time to eat healthy or always go to the gym, so I need this daily nitric oxide supplementation. And so that's the proactive approach we talk about. But the problem is you've got a lot of people who need nitric oxide, and they've already developed a lot of symptoms of low nitric oxide.
Mm.
And so for that, they have systems that are broken or dysfunctional. And so we have to fix that underlying biochemistry that then allows their body to make the nitric oxide. And so these people understandably need more than someone who doesn't have any dysfunction or problems in their nitric oxide production pathways. And in those, we say one lozenge twice a day.
Okay.
And when people follow those, there's absolutely no signs of getting into problems of overproducing nitric oxide. And so it's a very safe and very effective way to restore nitric oxide.
And especially as you get older, you're going to need more supplementation. Is that right?
Well, that's right. There's a number of public studies that show that with each decade, starting in the late teens, early 20s, you lose about 10 to 12% of your nitric oxide production capacity. And this can be accelerated or decelerated depending on your lifestyle, what you eat, how often you exercise, and some genetic factors as well. But yeah, the older you get, the more compromised your nitric oxide production is becoming. So I think it's very important that you take the steps before you start feeling the signs of
right.
low nitric oxide to prevent that age-related decline in nitric oxide production.
Now, where can people buy this?
Well, a lot of these patents I filed for when I was on faculty at the University of Texas Medical School in Houston, we started a company. We were formerly called Neogenus Labs. We've since changed the name of the company to Human to the Power of N. And so they can get it off our website at human.com. That's HUMANN.com, humann.com. Or really progressive and innovative physicians and healthcare practitioners like yourself, Dr. Staff, will then go to their doctor's office or dentist office and get it directly from you.
Very, very good. And I want to interrupt here in just a minute and encourage people. This is the type of thing that we bring to people's attention. When you come in for instance, as a new patient, we advertise for very high fear, high anxiety patients, and we are very effective at treating people with a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. We have multiple systems that would make you comfortable. And that's our goal, is to have the most comfortable dental experience that you've ever had in your life, or that it can be delivered. And we really pride ourselves on this, and we can help you regardless of what your fear level is, what your anxiety level is. And we see so many people that put off dental work because of fear. And as a result, their health deteriorates, and sometimes enormously, with enormous consequences. So if you have been putting off dental work because of anxiety or fear, be sure and give us a call. I'm Dr. Staffel, and my number is 210-341-2569. That's 210-341-2569. And we'll be happy to set you up with a consultation and help you explore these different problems and get proactive rather than reactive to your dental problems. And we'll never make you feel embarrassed. Some people haven't been in for a very long time, but we'll never, ever make you feel embarrassed about being not having attended to your dental work. So give us a call. That's 210-341-2569. We'll take care of you like you won't believe, as far as comfort and thoroughness and it's giving you information just like what we're giving you today. And we've got a few more minutes. How would you sum this up? Now, what I hear you saying in over the last 2 weeks, because this is the latest information, that and what I hear you saying, and correct me if I have need correcting, everybody should be on this. Every adult should be on this.
Well, I think, again, that's not me telling you this. I think that's what the published literature in the nitric oxide field tell us. Whether I think anybody who's getting older would benefit from nitric oxide therapy because of the published data showing that the older we get, the less compromised we become in making nitric oxide. So we need some help making the nitric oxide the older we get. And again, we've got 9 issued patents on this technology, and it's been demonstrated safe and effective in 6 peer-reviewed published clinical trials. So I think, you know, whether you're like me and you're still relatively young and active and just don't want to have the problems that I see a lot of people in the Texas Medical Center or even family members having, and you want to avoid that, then I think you can do that by making sure your nitric oxide levels are adequate. But then there are people who are already have a lot of problems, whether it's an elevation in blood pressure or a number of other things that obviously we can't talk about, because I think it's worth mentioning that Neo40 is a dietary supplement. It's not intended to treat, cure, prevent, or mitigate any disease. But again, what we focused on is giving the body what it needs to make nitric oxide, and that's what we do. We know how much nitric oxide a normal, healthy human makes in 24 hours. If you're not able, up to par, and you can't do that, then we help you make it. And so the lozenge really does 2 things. If you can't make nitric oxide, we do it for you. But then 2, and perhaps most importantly, is that we fix the reason your body can't make nitric oxide. And so I think, getting back to your question, I think anybody would benefit from this, whether you're compromised in your ability to make nitric oxide and you're starting to see the signs and symptoms of that, or whether you're young and healthy and just want to not get the problems associated with nitric oxide deficiency, or what we see in a lot of people at the top of their game, well-trained athletes, Olympic athletes, that use this just to optimize their performance. And again, I think it's worth mentioning, the name of the company is Human to the Power of N. We want to help people optimize their performance. And I think that's a very personal notion, because optimizing performance means something different to everybody out there. Whether it's older people who just want to have more time and energy to spend with their grandkids, or whether it's well-trained athletes that are trying to shave a second or half a second off their time, we can help them optimize their performance. And so, again, your body can heal or optimize or perform optimally until you restore the production of nitric oxide.
Now, that is just huge. And of course, you know, a lot of people run into a problem with price and not equating that with value and not equating that with healthy life value. And it's just a shame that people look at something and try to compare it to aspirin or some other pharmacy drug instead of understanding that this is a total regeneration of how the body thinks and how you should be thinking about restoring your body to health.
Yeah, I think once people understand, again, there's still not a lot of awareness around nitric oxide, but for less than the price of a single cup of Starbucks coffee, you can really do some tremendous things for your overall health. So
yes.
I think it's an investment, and we've got to invest in our own health. And,
right.
You know, when we don't, then systems fail and we pay the consequences later in life. So I think we have to invest in ourselves and invest in our own health.
Well, Dr. Brian, thank you so very much for your valuable time on this Sunday afternoon. And my dear listeners, thank you so much for listening. You can always pick this up on the valuable podcast, the free podcast, staffeldds.podomatic.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you. Good night.